Good morning.
Good morning.
Romans 1, 21 through 25. For they knew God, they did not glorify him or show show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what had been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to worship and praise you this morning. May each heart and each mind be open this morning to the messages you have for us. Watch over us, guide us, help us in everything we do to bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. And as we continue in our study of the book of Romans, I want you to understand there's a reason that Paul goes into depth explaining to these Gentiles and Jews of what sinful behavior looks like. There's a twofold purpose for this. Number one is so that the believer doesn't fall into this trap themselves. It's so easy to call ourselves a Christian, even if we don't live a Christian life. We can call ourselves a Christian even when we don't follow Christ. We can call ourselves a Christian and never go to church. We can call ourselves whatever we want to. That doesn't make it true. And so we see this in society today. If I call myself a Christian, you can't dispute it. You can't argue against me. You can't tell me any different, because how I feel is valid. And if I want to feel like a Christian, I have every right to call myself a Christian. And so Paul is pointing out the heresy and the lie behind so-called Christians. Remember, Scripture warns us multiple times of false prophets and false teachers. Goes all the way back into the Old Testament when God warned the Israelites, if a prophet comes to you and prophesies and it doesn't come true, don't listen to that person. They are a false prophet. Jesus tells us that in the end times, and we are in the end times, there will be false teachers coming around teaching heresy. He warns Timothy, there's going to be preachers that will preach to itching ears whatever they want to hear to make themselves feel good. I was perusing Facebook yesterday evening, and someone put on there, I'm new to the area and I'm looking for a church, but I don't want them to preach against homosexuality. Well, that kept me from putting tall pines in there. Because we're going to preach the truth. We're going to learn the truth. Whether you like it or not, you're going to hear the truth coming from the Word of God. And so Paul's doing the same thing to the church in Rome. He's saying, guys, look, there's going to be people coming around trying to lead you astray, trying to amass people for themselves so that they can make money off of you by delivering news to you that you want to hear. But I'm here to tell you there's news you need to hear, and you need to know the difference. And so, twofold reason for Paul delivering this to the Romans is so that the believer doesn't fall into this trap of becoming wise in their own eyes. But the other thing is, as we are out in the world, and we are to be out in the world, we're going to run up against people who don't want to hear the truth, or who will make these claims of, if Jesus was here, he'd be leading the gay parade. If Jesus was here, he would be escorting ladies into the abortion clinic. Why, if Jesus was here, he'd be having drinks with the drunkards on Friday night.
And they really believe this stuff, folks. We'll find out why in just a few minutes. But there is foolishness in believing that you are wise. When we start thinking to ourselves, I know what the Bible says, but I believe this, or I think this, then we become foolish in our pretend wisdom. When someone pretends to know the mind of God without ever studying His Word or praying, they are fooling themselves because they forget the wrath of God. Just last week in Sunday school, we studied about a man who thought he was doing a good thing when the Ark of the Covenant almost tipped over. He reached out to steady it. After God said, "Do not touch the Ark," what happened to that man? He was struck dead, wasn't he? This is the same loving God that we preach about. The God of wrath. The God who says, "You will obey me," and we should take heed to what His Word says. But because of the foolishness of man, I want you to see that, number one, man became wise in his own eyes. Man knew God. This is clear. The Israelites, when they were led out of Egypt, they knew God. God parted the Red Sea. God led them as a pillar of fire, guarded their backs, also went with them as a pillar of cloud during the day, gave them manna and water. When they complained about the free manna, He gave them quail to eat. And even though they knew God, they didn't want to honor Him as they should. Folks, that's why the Israelites had to wander for 40 years out in the wilderness, is because they did not give God the proper respect and obedience that they should have. And so what happens is man the worshiper becomes man the philosopher. There's nothing wrong with philosophy. There's nothing wrong with pondering the great mysteries of the world. But as a believer, we find the answers in God's Word. We don't dispute the Word of God. We can ponder the big questions. Why am I here? How did I get here? What is my fate? Where am I going when I die? We can all ponder those things. But folks, we can trust the Word of God when He tells us how we got here. We are knit in our mother's womb. Why we are here? We are here to worship God. We are here to fellowship with God. Where are we going when we leave this earth? Well, folks, that's up to you and the decision you make concerning Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. But we become philosophers, and our empty wisdom gets revealed in foolishness. See, those who are wise in their own eyes are unteachable. They don't care about God or Jesus or the church. And they don't even really worry about eternity, because in their arrogance, they think they know the mind of God. They'll think to themselves, "Well, God created me. I didn't ask to be here. And so God has to let me into heaven." Well, understand that if you reject God while you're alive on this earth, He is under no obligation to let you into heaven. As a matter of fact, He's going to honor your wishes if you spend your time on this earth avoiding Him and denying Him. He is not going to force you to live with Him for eternity. And that's just the truth. We have to know Jesus Christ. We have to have a relationship with our Creator in order to have heaven as our final destination. But see, we as a society, we have become very, very spoiled. We have income and luxuries that the world, most of the world, they don't have. We can ride down the street and within a mile, we're going to pass 5 gas stations, 3 or 4 restaurants, and a couple of grocery stores. There is nobody really starving in this area. Even the homeless are taken care of. We have a box outside of our church that is stocked with groceries that gets raided and pillaged almost every day. So there is no excuse for hunger in America because there is food available all over the place. But see, the problem is most of us, and I say us, me included, the church as a whole, we worship material things instead of worshiping the one that gives us the material things. We should thank God for everything that we have, every opportunity that we have. We should be giving thanks to God, but instead we like to say things like, I'm a self-made man. I made this money. I earned this money because of my skill, because of my tenacity, because of my work ethic. I made this money, and we totally disregard the fact that God gave you skills, God gave you talent, God gives you the work ethic, God gives you the opportunity to earn the money that you earn. So it's all His anyway. And the problem gets so bad that in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ has to write letters to the seven churches. Now understand, I'm a firm believer that these seven letters to the seven churches are dispensations, it's time eras. Starting with the early church, leading all the way up to the last church age. We folks are in the last church age. We are the Laodicean church that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation. One of the problems that the Laodicean church has is they are spoiled. And so Jesus writes to them in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Jesus says, for you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. Why, I don't need God. And guys, we get this when we go out knocking on doors. They don't come right out and say that, but you can see it. If you go to the neighborhoods around us, there's 2 to 3 cars in the driveway, maybe a camper and a boat, and you go knocking on the door to talk to the person, they don't need your Jesus, they don't need your church, they don't need whatever it is you're peddling to them. They've got everything they need. They've got a good job, they've got a bank account, they've got a nice house. So they see no need in anything else. Juxtapose that with going out with our Spanish brothers and sisters. Go out with them on a Saturday door knocking when they go to the impoverished neighborhoods, when they go visit the Mexican and the Spanish neighborhoods. The people there are so used to the oppression that they were under living in a different country, they are open to the gospel. They want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ because their life has been oppression since they were born, and so they understand the need for something more than money. They don't find their security in money. Folks, we should not find security in money. We should find security in Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to say, that you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You are in need. You need more than just money to get by in this world. And so Scripture goes on to give us other warnings. When we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 7, Solomon writes, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We become wise in our own eyes when we make comments like, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. It doesn't matter how many scriptures I read during the week. My prayer life is none of your business, preacher. What I do in the comfort and privacy of my home is of no concern of yours, preacher man. You don't need to know what's going on in my private life because I have everything that I need, and me and God have this agreement, and He understands me, and He's okay with it. Folks, that's being wise in your own eyes. You know, most of us and most of the world thinks that people who are against God are people who call themselves atheists. or even agnostic. But understand, the Bible is not written to lost people. Yes, people are saved through the reading of God's Word, through the preaching of God's Word, but God's book to us is a love letter from our Creator to believers. And so we must read and understand what God is telling us through His Word. And so when we become wise in our own eyes, we will utter things like, I know what God says, but that doesn't apply to me. I know what the preacher said, but he's preaching to someone else. Or, better yet, that preacher hurt my feelings. I'm not going back to that church. And I've shared with you before, if you want a church that makes you feel good in your sin, there's a couple right down the road. You can go there. But if you want to hear the truth, you want to know what God's Word says, I ask you to stick around and listen to the rest of this message. Because we should not be wise in our own eyes. We should weigh every decision we make against the Word of God. We should take every feeling that we have, every opinion that we possess, and weigh it against the Word of God. We are to live our lives with a biblical worldview. But sadly, many people will come to church on Sunday and live the rest of their week with a secular worldview. I know what the church says, I know what the Bible says, but I enjoy doing this. And so we become wise in our own eyes when we disregard the Word of God and we do whatever we feel like doing, or we base our opinion on our emotions instead of what God says. Because we become prideful and wise in our own eyes, we go out and we find something more suited to our own desire to worship. You understand that you are made to worship. God made you to worship. You are going to worship something or someone. You decide who you're going to worship. Understand, worship is not a feeling. Worship is not an emotion. I hate to break this to worship leaders, Brother Paul. You cannot invoke worship in a church. You come in with a worship attitude or not. It's up to you. You worship during the singing of the songs, of the hymns, when you understand that we are singing to God, not to each other, not to impress a crowd, but we are singing to communicate with God. When's the last time you sung a hymn and really paid attention to the lyrics you were singing? And did you mean it when you sang it? One of the greatest songs was the one the choir did this morning. Y'all understand, the man that wrote that song had just lost his entire family when he wrote that song. Even though his wife and his children had perished, "It is well with my soul." Even if I lose my job tomorrow, it is well with my soul. If the wife runs off with the pool boy, it is well with my soul. If everybody in this church leaves me standing here all by myself, it is well with my soul. When the doctor gives me bad news and says, "You have 6 months to live," it is well with my soul. And it's only well with my soul because of Jesus. And understand that it is well with my soul, not because of how I feel, but because I trust the words of Almighty God. Even when I don't feel very saved, Brother Doug, Scripture says I'm very saved. Walt, we don't care about how you feel on Sunday morning. We care about what God says in His Word. One of the greatest times to worship is when you just don't feel like it. Why, I'll go to that church, but I'm not singing. Can't tell you how many times as a music leader, as a worship leader, I stood up here and seen people as stone faced as they can be and never utter a word while we're singing hymns. And I'm wondering what's going on in that person's heart. Why? Why would you not lift your voice up to God? The only reason you have a voice is because of God. But if you don't want to worship the God of creation, you are going to worship something. Number two, man will make idols to worship. You will worship something. If you're not willing to worship the true God, you're going to worship a false God. Even if you have to manufacture that God yourself. Now, sadly, and y'all have heard me say this before, if you don't know the false God that you're worshiping, if you're confused about who you worship, if you don't come to church because you worship God during the week, then it's real easy for me to introduce you to the God that you worship. All you need to do is go in your bathroom and look above your sink, and most of us will have a big picture of the God we worship. We'll look in the mirror and we will see the God that we worship. But even if you say, Pastor, I don't worship myself. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not worthy. I'm not worth worshiping, but I still don't want to go to church. I still don't want to sing those hymns. I still don't want to read the Bible. I still don't want to pray to this God that you claim is your creator. Then you're going to make something to worship. We see this in Exodus. Remember Moses leading the people through the wilderness, and God calls him up on the mountain. And so Moses goes up there, pastor's on vacation, leaves the deacons in charge, and let's see what happens. Exodus 32:1 says, when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, that preacher guy, the man who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Lord help you if you come to church to worship the pastor. Talk about misplaced worship. I am not worth worshiping to anybody. But they were worshiping Moses. They forgot all about God. Hey, this guy that God sent us to lead us, he went away. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what to do. It's almost like they didn't pay attention to the preacher while he was talking to them. And so in his absence, the people got nervous. We need something to worship. And so they went to Aaron, the second in charge. That's why I said deacon. If you got associate pastor, it could be the associate pastor. But they went to him and said, you need to make us something to worship. And Aaron, being the faithful, godly man that he was, said, okay, give me all the gold in your possession. Can I remind you of how they got the gold that was in their possession? God caused the Egyptians to give up their gold to the Israelites. That gold was only in their possession because of God. The God they should have been worshiping, they took his provision and decided to worship it instead. Do we do that with our money? The money that God blesses us with, that we're able to earn because of God's provision, and we'll take that money and instead of worshiping the one that gives us the money, we worship the money instead? That's what went on here. And then Aaron took their gold and made them a golden calf for them to worship. And God, who had promised Abraham, I will make a great nation of you, and through that nation I will go on to bless all nations, and Israel will be my people and I will be their God. And while Moses is on the mountain with God, God sees them making this calf. What does he say to Moses? Moses, you need to get back there because your people are messing up. Yes, you can be disowned by God for being disobedient. Folks, we can make money, our home, a car, our spouse, our children. We can make sports, fishing, hunting, our job. We can make all these things a false idol when we put them in front of God. And sadly, many people are in churches all over the world today, and they're worshiping a false god while they pretend to worship the God of creation. But what will eventually happen is what Paul warns us about in Romans chapter 1, that God will eventually give the foolish over to their desire. Your King James will say he gives them over to a reprobate mind. But he will give them over to their sin. And this happens every day. See, God gave those people over to the lusts of their hearts so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Listen to me, young people. Any activity outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman is a sin to God. I don't care what it is. Outside of the bonds of marriage to one man and one woman is a sin. We like to get on our soapbox and talk about LGBTQ, but let's not forget about adultery. Let's not forget about sex before marriage. Let's not forget about multiple partners. All sexual sin is an abomination to God. And so it should not be entered into, but yet God gives people over to their lusts and impurities. God gave them over to degrading passions. Whatever they wanted to do that disobeyed God, that caused them to sin, eventually God gives them over to their passions. Then God will give them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. God will give them over, gave them over, and will give them over. The Greek word is paradidomi, and that word is translated as gave over or gave up. And it means surrendered, yielded to, entrusted, or transmitted. In this context, it refers to the act of God completely abandoning the unrighteous. As the wicked deserted God, God in turn deserted them, no longer giving them divine direction or restraint, but allowing them to corrupt themselves as they wished because they would not honor him. He let them do what they pleased to dishonor themselves. Being given over or yielded up to one's sinful desires is a judgment from God. So if you stay in your sin long enough, the warning is God will give you over to that sin. If you enjoy sinning more than worshiping God, God will give you over to that sin. That is God's judgment on mankind. Whenever you read in scriptures that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, or God hardened the hearts of the Israelites, this is what it's talking about. God did not take righteous, godly people and turn them away from Him. He took people who were already turned away from Him, and He said, I'm done with you. I'm not giving you any more grace and mercy. I will no longer give you an opportunity to follow me. And folks, that warning is alive and well today. God wants all to be saved. God has called each and every one of you to salvation. But if you keep ignoring Him, if you keep denying Him, one day it will be too late. And if you surround yourself with enough ungodly people, friends, family, other churches that don't preach the Word of God, but preach about your feelings and your opinions and affirmation. If you surround yourself with those people, you will become one of them. If you know five lazy people and you hang around them, you will be number six. If you know five hardworking people and you hang around them, you will become number six. Because you will fall into the company that you keep. Scripture even tells us not to be deceived that bad company destroys good morals. So be careful who you hang out with. You know the old saying that misery loves company. Those who practice sinful behavior encourage others around them to do the same. That's why we are to take ourselves out of situations where we are tempted. We are not to put ourselves in an area where we might fall. We are to choose our friends wisely. Because Romans 1:32, Paul says that although they know God's just sentence, damnation, hell for eternity, separation from Him, that those who practice such things deserve to die separated from God for eternity. They not only do those things, but even applaud others who practice them. The month of June is coming up. A month dedicated to sexual impurity and sin, celebrated for an entire month. And as the church, we are told to shut up, sit down, live and let live, and affirm these people in their sinful behavior. And the sad thing is, there are some church members who will applaud this abomination to God. Pastor, you ought not to preach against gay lifestyle. You ought not to preach against abortion. You shouldn't preach about politics. You shouldn't preach this. If I don't preach against it, then that means I support it, and I do not support it. And neither should you. Because we will be found just as guilty as those who practice these things against God if we don't speak out against it. Being against a sinful lifestyle, I don't care what it is, gambling, drinking, fornication, pornography, lying, cheating on your taxes, I don't care what it is. Being against a sinful lifestyle will make you wildly unpopular. I should know. I put my videos out on social media for people to see the words that I preach. Every great once in a while, I'll get an amen or a preach it, brother. Most times, I get little snide remarks from people. Because people hate the truth. People who hate the truth will call the truth hateful. And you're labeled as hate speech. But folks, we are called to honor God with our life, not to please the world. Scripture says that love of the world makes you an enemy of God. That's not my words, not my opinion. That's the word of God. If you support worldly behavior, you are an enemy of God. But folks, you're here, and you know the truth, and you've heard the truth. Last scripture I'll present to you is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Because you will come to church and hear the truth. And when you say, not today, I know that I need Jesus, but not today. I know that I'm sinful and I need to give up these sinful practices, but not today. I believe that God is real, and I know that I need to go to church more often, but not today. You are hardening your heart against God. And the sad truth is, the more you harden your heart against God, the harder it's going to be for you to make that decision to follow Christ. And according to God's word, eventually God's going to say, that's enough. I have spent enough time pursuing you, showing you the truth, and giving you opportunities to accept. You have refused me for the last time. I'm done with you. Folks, that's one of the reasons I pray for God to soften hearts to his message, for God to bring lost people into tall pines so they can hear the truth. Because I don't want anybody dying and going to hell that's meant for Satan and his followers. You have an opportunity to know where you're going when you leave this earth, but you have to make the decision. So once again, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. As Paul preached to the Romans, and we're going to continue through the book of Romans, and you're going to hear a lot of these same messages over and over and over, because today, 2,000 years later, it's even more imperative that you come to know Christ while you still have the opportunity, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nuclear war could break out. And we could all be dead. Jesus may call the church home this afternoon. You may not wake up tomorrow morning. We're not promised our next breath. So while you have the time, make a decision, not based on your feelings, based on the knowledge and the wisdom that's been presented to you. You are a sinner. You're not worthy to be in the presence of God. Jesus took your sin to the cross of Calvary and died in your place. Place your faith in him. Trust in him. Trust the word of God and be secure for eternity. But you have to make that decision. No one else can make it for you. In a few minutes, we're going to have a song of invitation. The altar will be open to any and all who will come up and pray. I will be available for any and all who need prayer or seeking guidance. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come, let's talk, let's pray. Come to know Jesus today before you leave this place. But it's up to you to make that decision. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you have given us your word. Lord, that you have created us and all that we see around us. Lord, we know that you are the provider of all that we have. And you have promised us that there is no sin that we can be tempted with that you have not made a way of escape from. But Lord, we have to be willing to step out in faith to trust you and your word. Lord, I pray for the lost soul amongst us that doesn't know Jesus, that today they would step out in faith and trust in your word. Lord, I pray for the lukewarm Christian. Lord, as their heart continues to harden, that you would just soften that heart. Show them the way back to your family and to the cross. Lord, may we place all of our faith in Jesus Christ and not our own wants and desires. But Father, just be with us now as we make decisions. I pray, Lord, that they will be led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do through your message. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and we all say together, amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah.